Welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are attempting to learn through Perek Zayin, the 7th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua today. We left everything rosy after the conquest of Jericho yesterday. Everything sounded great. Here is where the first bump in the road happens. This chapter is really about the Cherem. Remember, as Yehoshua was about to let the people call out and the walls were about to fall down, Yehoshua added an extra detail to what Hashem said, and that was, is that everything of the city is to be destroyed. Nobody's taking any loot from this battle. So the Perek starts out by telling us that one person, whose name was Achon, ben Carmi, ben Zavdi, ben Zerach from Yehuda, took something from Jericho. He slipped something into his possession. So what happens next is nobody realizes what's happening, and Yehoshua goes on to the second battle, the battle against a small city called Ha'ai. And Israel, feeling very confident about their previous battle against Jericho, says, we don't need to really send the full-blown army. Let's just send in 3,000 foot soldiers, 3,000 infantry, and it should be an easy battle. Now, they aren't given miraculous examples or instructions like beforehand with Jericho, but nonetheless, they feel confident in this battle. Unfortunately, calamity ensues and they are chased by the enemy. 36 soldiers are killed, and Israel are really in a state of disarray. They are in a state of, you know, complete disquiet. They realize that something really wrong has gone on. And Yehoshua reacts in an unusual way. He gets down, he tears his clothes. He realizes that something they did spiritually was wrong. Interestingly enough, he does not blame the politicians, he does not blame the generals, he does not blame the weaponry, he doesn't blame the weather. He actually tears his own clothes and takes responsibility spiritually for what must have gone wrong. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you bring us this far and then do this to us? You're destroying us. What will the rest of the nation say? Which are actually two voices, or Angel points out, is the voice of Israel and Moshe together, fascinatingly enough. And what Hashem says to him is, Yehoshua, kumloch, get up. Why are you so upset? They sinned. They took from the Cherem, and what you're going to do is you're going to find out who did. So here's the way you set it up, Yehoshua. You're going to do a goral. You're going to do a lottery, and the lottery is going to find who it was who actually stole from this. So and that person, their family will be burnt, and the Cherem will be burnt in fire. Yehoshua does exactly that. And the goral comes out on the Shevet Yehuda, and it comes to the family of Zerach, which is one of the royal families in Yehuda, and it goes down to the smaller family of Achon, and then they trap Achon, and Achon admits openly that he stole, and he tells what he stole. He stole some gold, some silver, that he buried underneath his tent, and they go find it, and in fact he is implicated. And the Torah tells us that Yehoshua takes Achon and his belongings and all his children out, and they stone them, and then they burn them and the things that he stole, and place a pile of stones on his grave till today. And with that, the anger of Hashem dissipates. There is a tremendous amount to ponder when it comes to this parak. Just want to put a few things on the map for thinking individuals, and that is the following. Number one is 36 people, like in the scope of things, is that really like a real loss in battle? I mean, come on, let's think about it. When we think about losses in battle, every person counts, but, you know, like they said 3,000 people, you know, a loss in battle. 36 doesn't sound like such a critical number. So the Mephoroshim point out, they quote Chazal, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Radak points out, that it actually doesn't say 36 people, it says Kishloshim v'shesh ish, like 36 people. That's an important number, because maybe it wasn't that they lost 36 people, maybe they lost actually a leader, somebody who was very, very critical. And the Gemara says that they lost Ya'ir ben Menashe, one of the elders of the previous generation, very, very powerful man who established a lot of cities on the east bank of the Jordan, was killed in this battle. And why like 36? Because he was such a leader, a wise man, that he was like most of the Sanhedrin. The magic number in the Sanhedrin is 71. To get a majority, you need 36. And that's why the Tanakh is emphasizing that it was a critical spiritual loss, which is why Yehoshua was tearing Kriya, which makes a lot of sense. When it comes to over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction is, Kum Loch, Yehoshua, get up. It sounds like it's almost like Hashem's shifting the blame back to Yehoshua. Why so? Why is Yehoshua responsible for what went on after all? Meaning, like, you know, somebody just slipped something into his own sock bag. Like, what's going on? Why is Yehoshua responsible? So Rashi presents a few options. Two of the options that Rashi presents is, number one is, Yehoshua, why weren't you in the battle? I mean, to say you're complaining that they lost this battle. Where were you? Where was the general? That's number one. Number two is a really dramatically terrifying idea that Rashi says. And that is, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yeshua and says, Yeshua, who made the chayrim? Who made this prohibition that Bnei Yisrael would not be able to take from the actual spoils? It was you. I didn't say that. Yeshua, if you want to put charamim on the people and you want to say everything's off bounds, you've got to be 100% sure that you know that people can withstand that. But if you want to go the extra mile and put a chumrah on the entire community and make a charam of Yericho, make an example of not taking the or taking in the spoils, you've got to be absolutely sure everybody's going to be abide by that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yeshua, take a good look in the mirror. Who's responsible for this loss? Is the leader who didn't estimate his people properly, didn't know where they were really holding. Very shocking idea. It speaks to the core of leadership and how people are supposed to understand their constituency to the real degree. Finally, last point, just to ponder, I'll leave this as a question. It seems ambiguous in the Psukim as to whether your Achon, who was the person who stole, whether Achon's children were also killed. And it's a very, very difficult thing to think about. We have to kind of wonder to ourselves, if his children were killed, what did they do? Were they really, did they were also taking the gold? How is there this notion of punishment which extends beyond the perpetrator themselves? This parak itself is replete with that idea because over here sometimes a mistake that Yeshua made has implications on other people's deaths as well. So this parak talks about the notion of collective or intergenerational punishment in a way which requires a lot of unearthing, food for further thought, just worthwhile contemplating, thinking, and please send responses via Nachnuk. Looking forward to speaking with you. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.